with the parents. I think just was thinking back at one of the things we did with the math program here, and our committee work with parent involvement, teacher involvement, administration. It came together so well that we have set this action research going and developing a process that we can collaborate and make things work for SICA when it ultimately gets down to that mandate that you're going to be compensated based on how your teachers are teaching, you know, or how your students are scoring on the test. It's not going to be good. So I'm always hopeful that we don't get down that path. I mean, like you look at No Child Left Behind, we never did make it to the 100%, you know. So, I mean, we got close, but when it came time to that, we were actually moved on to something else here now. So,
is there an alternative way to determine teacher accountability that would satisfy you as board members that doesn't have anything to do with these state tests? I mean, how do you sitting behind the board table know that your district, that your staff are doing a good job?
That's a very difficult question to answer. I think it's clear, as Tim was talking about, that we as a nation and got too involved in testing, and the end result was is that we were having students taught and learn to the test so that they weren't independently thinking, and were not everything was a multiple choice question, nothing was an essay. And I think we need to, you know, be getting away from that. Probably in terms of trying to evaluate teachers, we need to be doing more observation in the classroom, not by filming, but rather by having peers and of the various teachers evaluate each other and come up with the ability to meet and discuss how they're doing, groups of teachers getting together and going through self-assessment may be helpful. Hearing from parents a little bit more frequently in terms of how they perceive the education process going, etc. Maybe we should be opening that up as a segment of the board meeting on a regular basis, in terms of, today we are, this board meeting, we're going to discuss how it's going in one of the elementary schools in terms of how parents and students are perceiving the education. And maybe we need to do more listening to that. I don't know.
Yeah, peer mentoring and peer coaching is actually getting a lot of traction in the private sector world. Right. Did you have more thoughts on this, Tim?
Yeah, you know, it's, I guess for me, your question is, how do I, as a board member, define success for our student, right? Is it a graduation or, you know, high scores or not dropping out? Just what is it? And what are we asking our teachers to do? You know, this, we're asking them to the social emotional piece of it, as well as getting a solid foundation for love of learning. And I mean, it's just a huge thing that we're asking of our teachers. And what does that success look like? For me, I see it in our schools. You know, out of the last 4 years, we've had a National Merit Scholar in the Sitka School District. I mean, that's pretty impressive. And I see it, I just saw a young man walking down the street here not too long ago that's running for mayor. You know, I see that the things that our teachers are doing every day. If you look out there, the success that is in our community, making Sitka what it is today, a lot of graduates from Sitka High School. And I think that that's what we need to look at is, what are they successful? Are they happy? I think so. They're in Sitka.
All right. Thank you, Tim.
One of the things that I've always advocated for, and we haven't done enough of, is post-graduation surveys, that we need to look more at outcome than we've done in the past. And the tendency is for students to graduate, go off to do other things, go to college, go to a trade school, start a job, and then we don't hear back from them in terms of how things are going. And I think we need to do more outcome evaluation to see where it is where things are going. That might help us. And every time you bring that subject up, there are 100 different reasons why they can't do it. So maybe we need to force the issue.
Yeah, kind of a linear study of graduates.
I just heard, and I haven't followed up with our superintendent, but I had a conversation that we have hired a consultant to do some survey of students, not necessarily just went to college, but they're in the workforce and so on. And I think it is grant-generated with the VOTEC side of things as well. So, I haven't talked with our superintendent, but I heard that was happening.
It'll be interesting to see where that goes. Tim Fulton and Tom Connolly are your candidates for school board. They're running for 2 open seats on the Sitka School Board. The election is next Tuesday. This is your chance to pose a question to them. The number is 747-5877 if you'd like to call it in. And you can be sent right into the studio to ask it in person, or you can ask it sort of indirectly, as this person has. The Sitka Assembly just put $1.6 million of surplus funds from FY 2014 into the Infrastructure Sinking Fund. That's about the same amount that the city is under the cap. Should the city's budget surplus go to schools rather than to roads? What do you think, Tom Connolly?
Well, as I said before, I'm going to be unpopular because I am very much in favor of us funding to the cap. That is something that is going to have to go through the assembly in the terms of putting the question before the public. It may also require a public vote. I don't think that I have any authority to say where it should come from. There are 2 ways of doing it, obviously. One would be raising the millage rate. The other would be using the surplus funds. How we would go about doing it, I think, is up to the assembly and up to the public. But I would be comfortable with either way of doing it.
All right. Tim Fulton?
Yeah, that's an interesting piece, and I definitely agree with Tom. I think that that's something that the community, and well, we are voting. You know, where does the current assembly and mayoral candidates stand on that? I myself would like to see it go towards the schools, and there's since I've been on the board that we've been getting Secure Rural Schools funding, and originally we weren't splitting that with the city; we were getting the lion's share of it. And then all of a sudden, we're splitting it and then losing some other of it. And at that point, we had a meeting with the assembly, and the administrator at that time was going, we're going to take this money from the schools and put it into roads. And I'm going, okay, how is that good for our community? And he, you know, proceeded, you got to have roads for safety, fire, and police and all this. But I haven't seen that money going into our roads. I got a figure the other day, and I don't know what it was, but the money that we've been splitting since I've been on the board is a substantial amount, and I don't know where that went to. So, yes, I'd like to see more money going into the schools. The public should weigh in on how they think that should be.
Yeah, it's interesting how those numbers line up, the $1.6 million that was put into the sinking fund and the $1.4 million that we're down below the cap. But again, there isn't a dedicated mechanism yet for roads, and I think the assembly is working on that. It was a subject of conversation last night. The number to call again is 747-5877 if you have a question for school board candidates Tom Connolly or Tim Fulton. You can also send us an email, as that last questioner did, news@kcaw.org, or post a question on our Facebook thread. Tim, I was telling you about this the other day when you came in and we did your candidate profile story. I did hear an interview with Dana Goldstein recently. She's the author of a book called The Teacher Wars, A History of America's Most Embattled Profession. It was a really interesting discussion. And I asked you if you thought teachers were embattled. Do you feel that teachers are under far more scrutiny now than they have been in the past?
Yes, and getting even more so. I forget the gentleman's name that was here a couple years back from Finland, and he talked about the model there. And the teaching profession there has been elevated into such a level that it's more important to be an educator than it is a doctor or a lawyer or an attorney or any of those. So, yes, our teachers, a lot of times the public looks at them and goes, wow, they have the whole summer off, you know, and different stuff. We're paying them too much. And they are very embattled. We continuously put more on their plate that we want them to accomplish and less money to do it.
All right. Embattled teachers, Tom Connolly?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's an American tradition. During colonial times, the person in the community who had no other function and no other skills was often made the teacher and was in the position of being the babysitter for the community. And that has persisted. There's a tendency to, you've heard the old phrasing, or the old phrase that goes, if you can't do either, you could teach.
And, you know, those who can't do.
You know, those who can't do, teach. It's unfortunately been a low-paid profession. It's been a ridiculed profession in many ways, and it's certainly not had a great deal of status. That's changing to some extent. The focus on it has become much more specific, and so I think that's improved it somewhat. But as Tim was saying, our country is falling way behind in that, and the experience we had listening to the teacher and education guru from Finland was quite interesting.
All right. Thanks, Tom Connolly. The number to call is 747-5877, and we have another caller on the line right now, and it's Becca. Hi, Becca. Thanks for you have a question for our candidates?
Yeah, and this is one, I don't know a whole lot of teachers, but the teachers I know are already pretty familiar with the Common Core standards. They've been around for a few years now, and they're, I think something like 80% are the same as the former standards. And I was wondering if the school board would be open to paying teachers to tweak our current curriculum, we have some really great curriculum here, for the ELA, rather than, paying a lot of money for something out of a box.
Oh, like spending the money locally on curriculum development?
I think you might save a little bit of money. And I think you'd probably end up with a better product. I've been really happy with, what my kids have been doing in English language arts. And I can't see that buying something from a big company is going to be a big improvement.
Thanks, Becca. Thanks for your question. We'll let the candidates answer it.
Yeah, if I may, I'll thank you. Good question. The group that we put together for the math curriculum looked at everything. They looked at ways of introducing it. And you are correct that there's a lot of the new Common Core that are the same. And actually right now at the high school level, they have decided to stay with what they were teaching before, hoping that something comes along to develop it for it to be more meaningful with the parents and with the students and so on. So they're continuously looking at it. The teachers are involved in this. We have parents involved in it, and we're looking for ways to save that. Having said that, there's we looked at things, and there is a certain amount of our curriculum hasn't been looked at for about 10 years. So this is kind of going in line with that too. We need to look at our curriculum. Normally, a district should be looking at it every like 6 years, and we're trying to set things up. So this is looking at the curriculum and moving forward. So we're continuously where we should be is something that we're looking at. So it's kind of adopting of the Common Core as well as looking at the curriculum that we currently have. So.
Thanks, Tim Fulton. Tom Connolly, the question is, why not develop new curriculum locally to meet the standards?
If indeed developing it locally will meet the standards, I would see no objection to it. But I don't know how much leeway we have in terms of the mandates that we've been given by the Alaska Board of Education, which is located in Juneau and is has to some extent a final say in some of this. So I'd need to know how much leeway we have. It's an interesting idea. I'd like to see it developed.
Yeah, you almost wonder if something could be piloted here and then just try it. I mean, when you're faced, I know, Tim, that you were not happy. No one was on the board. On the board was happy last year with cutting home ec in the middle school or the Baranoff reading specialist, and I don't think you are looking forward to further cuts, but it's a big chunk of change to outsource the development of curriculum.
Yeah, and it is, and you know, we have our hands tied once again. Is we don't even know what the test is that the state's going to buy. They just so that's part of developing the curriculum. The math curriculum people that we dealt with are going to work with us when they decide what who they're going to use to test, how it's going to be developed, and that kind of thing. So there's a lot of things, but it is a great idea, and you know, we'd love to hear more about it, I guess.
All right. On the subject of embattled teachers, I did an informal poll yesterday of some teachers I know to ask them what they would be interested in asking you. And I have a short list. I don't know if it requires lengthy answers, but do you support teacher retention? And if so, by what means? What's the best way to retain teachers?
Good question. Well, one of the ways of retaining teachers is to have a vibrant and active and interesting community. And I think CITIA does a fairly good job in that regard. I think that you retain teachers by asking them what's going on and taking advice and a comment from them on a regular basis, which I think we do a fairly good job with. I think that'll be particularly important as we go into this development of a new curricula. We should have criticism from the teaching staff. And I think that we've generally gotten good comments from the teachers and from SEA on a regular basis, and we should continue to do that. Communication is the core value that we should be promoting.
And do you have a position on tenure, Tom?
excuse me. It's something I need to think about. I understand why it occurred. I think that in unstable times, it is something that the teaching staff needs. I think we should perhaps not be giving tenure at 3 years. It should perhaps be longer. But I have mixed feelings about it.
Tim Fulton, retaining teachers.
Chocolate and coffee.
The secret to happiness for just about everybody.
Yeah. I think a big part of where what teachers want today is to be acknowledged and professional development. I think giving them the tools to ply their trade is a very important part of retaining teachers. And I guess I would. Well, that train left the station again. Lost that thought.
Tenure.
Tenure. Yeah, I spoke to this a little bit at the chamber, and you know, tenure is there. I like the idea of it. I work in an environment for seniority. It's the same type of thing. There's a certain protection. Does that mean that if I'm not doing my job, that I can't get out of there? It just makes it more difficult. You just have to do that. So tenure's good. It protects the teachers, but having a teacher that's not performing affects students, and we can't have that. So being able to have that balance, I think, is a good thing.
Again, we're speaking with school board candidates Tim Fulton and Tom Conley. And the number to call is 747-5877 if you'd like to get a question in. Tom, you had an additional thought?
Yeah, I would like to echo what Tim was saying about professional development. Over the years, as the funding has decreased and we've been more in difficulty in terms of retaining things, one of the elements of the budget that has declined has been professional development, and I think we need to make it a more important and a more funded element in the budget, that it's very important that this kind of continuing education, continued training and teaching and training in terms of professional development is very important. So I think we need to up that in terms of how much of the budget we devote to it.
All right.
I would just say that we've actually got it into the teacher's contract that there's a certain amount that we put into professional development for them. So and that's something that they asked for. Mm-hmm. And as a board, we really support it. And I just want to go back to retaining teachers. My thought was that I lost was Wuchin, and that's working together. So I think it's important for us as board members to listen and work with our teachers to, you know, there's the hierarchy and all that, but to get input from them and work with them, try to listen to that as much as we can, and be part of working together, Wuchin.
All right. The number to call is 747-5877 if you have a question for our two school board candidates here in Sitka. This question came in via a caller, but it was just walked in. When it comes to things like the requirement that teacher evaluations be based on student test scores, if you feel a mandate might actually harm students, would you be willing to do the research and push back against the mandate? Yeah.
Want to run that flag up the hill and see how far you get knocked down?
It's not clear how much leeway we have. It's also not clear how much authority we have locally to do some of the things that you're talking about. Can we push back against excessive testing? Yes, and I think we have to a great extent. It's been discussed more and more as time goes on. We have to look at what the downside of it is. In other words, there are certain penalties for doing that, and are we willing to accept the penalties that may be financial, that may be more in terms of argument from the state school board. I think that we certainly can voice our opinion. I don't know how effective that'll be. You had some thoughts?
Yeah, I'm willing to push back against mandates, but got to know what the consequences are when you do push back, and you know what it comes down to is that we should, I really believe in local control. That's why we have school boards. And we should be able to decide what is best for our students. And we could do that if we didn't take any of the funding from the state, if we didn't take any of the funding from the feds. We'd as a community decided that this is how we want our education to look, this is what we're willing to pay for. So there's always that purse string that's keeping us attached there. But I don't think that necessarily pushing back against mandates is a bad thing, but we need to know the consequences.
We could take a passive, aggressive attitude towards it. It was something that goes along the lines of, I'm sorry, I won't do that again.
The thinking would the folks in Juneau really appreciate a passive aggressive attitude, or is that what they live and breathe over there? It's hard to say. Thanks very much for your question. Again, if you'd like to get a question in to our candidates, the number is 747-5877. And if you're too shy to speak it on the air, you can just dictate it, and Rachel or Emily will bring it on in here. You can also post your question via email, news@kcaw.org.